This is the word of God found in Colossians, chapter 3, the first four verses. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Again, we run into the word seek. There's some things that we ought to be seeking. Mentioned some of them last Sunday as, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. So hope to return to that thought. But there's some things that are above in the presence of Christ, and we're told to seek them. But notice that this text here starts off with an if. It's a condition, and it's a big condition. If ye then be risen with Christ. Now, I thank God for the health that I enjoy, but as I get older, it hurts more and more to live inside my body. And if you ask if I was glorified, I'd say, not yet. Still hoping, but not yet. So what is this if here? If ye then be risen with Christ. Well, it's a matter of being represented in Christ, and in that gracious state, you're together with Christ. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. Someone that is chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, or elected in Christ, is predestinated to glory. So that person is chosen in Jesus Christ. It says that in the first chapter of the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. All that God the Father chose in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, redeemed when he went to the cross, because he said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I shall in no wise cast out. So the Lord Jesus Christ died for everyone that was chosen in him before creation. They were redeemed in our Lord Jesus Christ as he hung upon the cross, paying for their sins. Now everyone that is redeemed, made just, justified by the blood of Jesus Christ, sometimes within their own existence, they are regenerated or born from above by the Holy Spirit. That's called the effectual call of God from death and trespasses and sins unto life in Jesus Christ by theologians. So sometimes they are between when they're conceived in the womb of their mother, between then and the time they physically die, God causes them to be begotten again. He causes them to be begotten from above, to be regenerated, to become a new creature. He causes them to be indwelled by the Spirit of the Son of God. And you hear me try to quote that often. It's in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So what I'm trying to get to is this. All that God the Father chose, he elected, all that the Father elected, God the Son redeemed, and all that God the Son redeemed, God the Spirit regenerates. There's no conflict. It's not a different group. Everyone, without exception, that God the Father elected, God the Son redeemed, and God the Holy Spirit regenerates. So here's the question about if you then be risen with Christ. Are you begotten again? Are you regenerated? Are you born of the Holy Spirit? That's a tough question. The Bible gives evidences. It's not where I can tell who's going to heaven or who's going to hell or going to the lake of fire. But I'll tell you this, I really cannot tell who's going to the lake of fire. Don't know that at all. But the Bible gives evidences so I can kind of get a sense of the people that are headed for glory, that are headed for heaven. What is that sense? Well, the gospel is full of these kind of evidences that you can ask about yourself or others to get a sense of where you are begotten from above, that you're a new creature, that you are regenerated. What are some of these? Well, 1 John chapter 4. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Now that doesn't say that God comes to dwell in you and you come to dwell in God when you confess that. It's saying that your confession of that is an evidence that you are dwelling in God and that God is dwelling in you. Another evidence is given by love. Same chapter, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, it says, Beloved, let us love one another, for he that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. That's the very definition of eternal life, someone that knows God. So if you run into somebody and they truly have an unselfish love for people, for God, then you're looking at somebody that's born again, that has everlasting life. The Lord Jesus Christ gave a bunch of evidences at the start of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. He opened his mouth and taught his disciples, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are you when men shall persecute you for my name's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There's evidences there. Going back to 1 John again, here's another evidence. Another evidence. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. If you love the brethren and you see those evidences of eternal life in them, that means you've passed from death unto life. So it's an evidence of eternal life for you. But you know, I had heard all these preach before I joined the church, and they still weren't getting to me. I doubted my love. I doubted my hunger and thirst after righteousness. I doubted the authenticity of my faith, all of that. And then one day, a man, and I can't even remember who it was, preached this, and it's the one that connected with me. It's found in Romans chapter 7. Many of you are familiar with these scriptures, but listen to this evidence of eternal life. Romans chapter 7, starting with verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. This is the Apostle Paul talking about himself. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. The man preached and he said, this sets up a conflict. The law of sin that dwells in your members, and then the inner man that God has caused to be there by regeneration. And there's this battle. There's the things you would do and you don't do. There's the things you hate but you find yourself doing. And there's this battle here. And he said, if you find within yourself that battle, that is evidence that you are born again. And that the inward man dwells within you. And I thought, I've got that. And the next morning, I joined the church and asked for baptism. So look at the abundant evidences of the Scripture. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God is begotten from above. Whoever loves is begotten from above. Whoever hungers and thirsts after righteousness is begotten from above. Whoever mourns over their sins is begotten from above. Whoever's poor in spirit, persecuted, a peacemaker, whoever is merciful, they're born from above. Whoever has this struggle, desiring to do good and having a hard time doing it, they're born from above. And if you have these evidences, then that means the Holy Spirit regenerated you. And if the Holy Spirit regenerated you, then Jesus Christ redeemed you. And if Jesus Christ redeemed you, then the Father, before creation, chose you in Jesus Christ, and so you are represented by Jesus Christ, and so therefore you are with Jesus Christ representationally when he hung on the cross in the darkness. You are with Jesus Christ when he was buried in the grave, and you are risen with Christ. So I said all that just to get to this point. If ye then be risen with Christ, and child of God, that's talking about you. You, though you may have aches and pains, though you may be facing the weakness associated with age, though you may be dealing with disease or disappointment or sadness, if you are one who loves and hungers and thirsts after righteousness, I want you to rejoice in this truth. You are risen with Christ. Now, for your body to rise glorified, that's in the future. But I'm talking about representationally in the eyes of God, his justice and his purpose. You are risen with Christ. And if you be risen with Christ, there's something for you to do. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. There's some things that are above with the Lord that you ought to be questing for. It ought to be your purpose to contact, to be in possession of. Some things that are there with him. Where is this? Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Let me just read you a few scriptures about that here. And it's told in prophecy about him sitting on the right hand of God in Psalm number 110, verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Let's go over to the book of Hebrews and read a bunch of them. Let's see what it says in Hebrews chapter 1. There, Hebrews chapter 1, I believe it's verse 3. Let me start with verse 1. Hebrews 1, 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Let me go to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. and read there where it says, starting with verse 11, "And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool." Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which thus so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Over and over and over again, you see this expression, the Lord Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God. That is, well, I thought Jesus Christ was God. He is, and he's one with the Father in the throne. And the Spirit of God's one with the Father and the Son, sitting in the throne. But on the right hand of the throne of God is a human being. Amen. The Son of Man, Jesus of Nazareth. So you are represented in heaven. Not only is God your Father, and there's God the Son and God the Spirit there, and God your Creator, and all of that, but you have a high priest who is a human being who is not only the Son of God, he's the Son of Man. And he there represents you. You bring your prayers before him. That's why it's so good to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our human high priest forever and ever. And he sits on the right hand of the throne of God. And if ye then be risen with Christ, which child of God you are, seek those things which are above. This is not something in the earth, because everything below the sun, remember what the Holy Spirit had Solomon write? Everything below the sun, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. So that's below the sun. So you're seeking some things that are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Well, what is above? Well, we just said God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit's above. We've just said Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of Man, he's above. What about your loved ones in the Lord that have gone on? Are they there? Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. So, do you need to cut off your emotions, your love for them? For your mom and dad? For different loved ones you've had, known in the church, known in your family years? Are you supposed to just cut off your feelings because you can't talk to them anymore? Or are you supposed to set your affection on that, thinking, one day we're going to be together again? One day I'll see them. I'll talk to them. Not only will it be wonderful to be with them as they were, but it's going to be without their annoying, sinful habits. They're going to be perfected. It's going to be the very essence of what I loved about them without all the stuff I didn't like about them. Now, isn't that a great thought? Those things are above. What else is above with God? Well, there's light. There's love. There's joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. There's truth. These things are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Doesn't it make a lot more sense for me to set my affection on light and truth and joy and loved and loved ones than it does for me to set my affections on my investment portfolio? Does it not make more sense to do that? I'm glad to have something put by, you know. I hope it comes in handy. Well, it already has. But it's nothing compared to what's above, the treasures that are there. That's why I need my affections to be set there, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Well, there it is again. What? Wait a minute. If ye then be risen with Christ, representationally I'm with him, even though physically I'm here now. But now it says, for ye are dead. representationally, that is in the justice of God, you know what? You're separated mighty far from something, and death is separation. If you're dead in trespasses and sins, you are separated from the righteousness and the fellowship of God. If you are physically dead, your spirit is separated from your body. Your spirit's one place, your body's another. Death is that separation. Well, what is this? Ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. What has Jesus Christ caused you to be separated from? And I mean separated from as far as the east is from the west. The Lord Jesus Christ has separated you from your sins, from your transgressions, from your iniquities, as far as the east is from the west. And you've heard how infinite that can be. If I go north, if I go up the line of longitude from here around the Atlanta area, I finally hit the North Pole and then I'm headed south again. But if I go east or west, I keep going and I never start going the other direction. If I go west, I continue to head west. And so when he separated our iniquities from us as far as the east is from the west, well, there is a death. You are dead to your sins. You are dead to your iniquities. You are dead to the condemnation that you justly deserve. You're separated by God from that. And because you are dead, your life is hid with Christ in God. Jesus Christ keeps your everlasting life. He holds it. And that means that somebody like me can't get to it and mess it up. It's held in his possession for my benefit. That's a great thought to me that I can't. It's kind of like when Moses went up and got the first tablets of the Ten Commandments, and he came down the mountain and he saw the people there worshiping idols, a golden calf. He cast the tablets down and broke them. But when he brought the second set of the Ten Commandments, those stone tablets down, you know what they did with them? They put them in the Ark of the Covenant, and it was a huge sin, punishable by death from God himself, to open up and look into the Ark of the Covenant. As a matter of fact, they tried it one time after the Ark of the Covenant came out of the land of the Philistines. The Israelites got it and they were celebrating, glad to have it, and they decided to look inside the Ark. Over 50,000 of them died for doing that. So there's the tablets of the Ten Commandments inside the Ark of the Covenant. They're kept where nobody can get at that. And the Lord Jesus Christ keeps your life that he won for you by grace, by himself satisfying God's law on your behalf. And now he keeps your everlasting life safe and secure in his mighty power. It goes right along with what Jesus Christ taught about God the Father, is that God's, that his sheep were held in the hand of God the Father, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. That doesn't just mean no other man. That means you yourself can't pluck yourself out of the hand of God the Father. Aren't you glad? You are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Why, you might as well set yourself, your affections on things above, because that life that was full of sinfulness and hatred of God and inability to do anything pleasing to God is separated from you. It's not profitable, not wise to set your affection on things that are gone. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So seek those things that are above. And then going back to last Sunday's message there, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. Seek those things early. Seek them early in your life while you're young. Seek them early in the day, right soon after you wake up. Seek them early in times of trial or times of challenge. Seek God early. Seek God in people, because he dwells in his people. Seek God in nature, because though this is a fallen world, yet the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Seek God in His Word, because He's inspired it and preserved it for us. And seek God in prayer. So as you seek God, you also seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now, my time's running out, but I would like to ask you to read onward, because part of seeking after those things that are above are killing off some of those things that are here with us now. Let me just read a few of them, starting with verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. You know, after this glorious passage here, if you then be risen with Christ, and born again child of God, you're risen with Christ. Because the Holy Spirit quickened you, is because the Son of God redeemed you, and because the God the Father chose you in Christ, you're risen with Christ. If those things are above, or if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. After hearing all that, all of a sudden you're into this, fornication and inordinate affection and evil concupiscence and don't have filthy communication out of your mouth. Wait, how does all this together? Here's how it all goes together. If you're trying to seek God, if you're trying to seek those things that are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God, all of these kind of activities, fornications, concupiscence, filthy communications, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, all of those cloud your vision. They cloud your vision. It makes it harder to seek God. It makes it harder to seek the things that are above. It causes you to forget the precious things that you have in God. Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 1, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now, does that mean that somebody that doesn't grow in these things, faith and knowledge and faith and virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness, somebody that doesn't grow in these things, does that mean they lose their eternal life and that they're no longer purged from their old sins? No. God doesn't lose any of his children. None of them can ultimately fall away from them. But here's what you can lose. And brothers and sisters, this is a serious loss. You don't want to lose it. This is very serious. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You lose that memory. You lose that hope. You lose that joy. You lose that ability to seek those things that are above, because these things on the earth have clouded your vision, have purged your memory so that you've forgotten that you are purged from your old sins. You cannot see afar off. I would say seeking those things that are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, that's afar off, isn't it? Sometimes you need to hear things that are from afar off, as cold waters to a thirsty soul. So is good news from a far country. You need good news from a far country, and you need a vision of that far country. You need to seek those things that are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. So don't let these things cause you to fail to grow in such a way that you become blind and cannot see afar off and have forgotten that you were purged from your old sins. You know, somebody might say, well, I haven't forgotten that. I remember total depravity, and I remember unconditional election. I remember particular redemption. Oh, yeah, that's one thing to just academically remember what's written in the articles of faith. That's one thing. Brothers and sisters, I'm talking about remembering that joy, that relief. I'm talking about remembering that precious feeling. Where is the joy that once I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul-refreshing view of Jesus and His Word? You ever had occasions like that where you remember what it was like when you first heard and first rejoiced in the truth of the gospel and how good it was? When you first asked for a home in the church and asked to be baptized, and how wonderful it was to be received by these brethren that you respected and loved so much. And then you come to later on, and these things in the earth start clouding your vision. You know, filthy communications, anger, wrath, malice, all of those things. And all of a sudden, it's like the gospel, and the truth of what God has done, and the fellowship of the church, it all just becomes ho-hum. Just all becomes another duty. We sang about it before I got up to preach. We sang about, oh, what joys I felt when first I saw the Lord. It's talking about the once I had a glorious view of my Redeemer God. He said, I'll be a God to you. And I believed His word. But now I have a different stroke than all my groanings are. My God has left, has me forsook. He's gone. I know not where. Can that be the experience of a child of God? Yes, it can. Yes, it has. I felt that feeling before. It's like, where did God go? Why don't I feel that anymore? Well, it's because things of the earth have clouded my view. And I need to seek those things that are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Does that mean you've lost those things that are above, that they're no longer yours, that life in heaven is not yours? No, it doesn't mean that at all. God doesn't lose you. But what about the enjoyment of seeing those things that are above right now, right here? Can that be lost? Yes, and it has been sometime. Let's not lose it. Let's turn back to God. Let's seek it again. Let's ask Him to restore unto us the joy of His salvation, to uphold us with His free Spirit. Let's ask that because God is merciful. He's holy, 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 but He's merciful and He's mighty. Let's ask Him, God, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and let us see that soul-refreshing view of Jesus and His Word. May God bless you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, thank You for Your mercy and grace. Thank You for Your unchanging, everlasting love. Thank You, Lord, that we can have that great peace and hope that God never loses any of His children, that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But, oh Lord, how often we are separated from the vision of that, from the comfort of it, from the joy of it. Dear Father, we pray that You will help us to repent, that You will forgive us our sins, help us to come close to You and seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Dear God, please help these that are hurting, that have lost loved ones, the people that are suffering from natural disasters and disease and the loss of loved ones. Oh God, have mercy upon them. Pour out your comfort and your healing upon them. Dear God, we beg for revival here and throughout the world, that you would send laborers into your harvest, that you would open doors for the spread of the gospel. Dear God, we beg that you would bless us to increase in fellowship with you and with one another, and that you would help us to rejoice in days to come, whether there are challenges and hardships, persecution or tribulation. Help us, Lord, to know the joy of God, which is our strength. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.